British forces are currently deployed on 39 operations across 46 countries. But what are they doing in these remote and far-flung locations? The FBS joined up with the MOD to find out what life's really like for those on ops. This time, we're having a brew with the British Army in Mali.
I'm Sergeant Matt Thurl, part of 4th Troop, which is a human engagement troop, part of A Squadron.
I'm Lance Corporal Matthew Hughes, I'm a gunner in the Air One.
And I'm Captain Jonathan Quick, the Regimental Signals Officer and the Media Officer for the Light Dragoons, but also the part of the headquarters of the Long Range Recce Group Mali.
So I've been here for now coming up to, well, just over a month. And we've come here, I basically arrived a little bit earlier than everyone else to try and set it up and sort of prepare it for everyone else's arrival. And the others have sort of just turned up, so I'll hand you over to Hughesy, and he can say which country we're in and where we're all at.
So the country of operations is Mali, which is in Africa. Been here about 2 weeks now, and then just done a bit of acclimatisation, and then we're just starting our graft now.
So I came with Hughesy as well. I've been here 2 weeks. We've just done the sort of acclimatisation and the training packages, getting the lads ready to sort of to go out on operations. I don't think I've ever had a sort of a better facilities than this.
Yeah, really. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
we
accommodation wise, it's absolutely good.
You've done Afghan, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done two Afghans and obviously Kabrit, but this place is pretty good. I can't really grumble.
Yeah, we've got it's been built in about 6 months, over the course of 6 months, and they've effectively just, we've turned a bit of desert into a sort of ISO container, small village. So each room is an ISO container where you share with one other. Thankfully with aircon, stuck at 25 degrees. So
it's got furniture in it. It's not just an ISO container.
Yeah, no, it does have furniture.
A bit grim, really.
It's not
really. ISO.
I think the ISO thing isn't quite doing the accommodation justice. I think in your head you're probably imagining a shipping container with beds in. It's definitely not that. It's sort of thing, yeah, prefab building with rooms and furniture and a bed.
Shower facilities.
So it's like, it's not bad at all. It's not a shipping container.
Yeah, I agree with Fertz. I think Captain Quick's obviously from a privileged background, so it probably is like an ISO container for him, whereas actually it's very comfortable. The beds are good, the aircon, it's two men rooms. For an actual operation, then you can't get much better, to be fair. You can stay for 6 months and not have no complaints whatsoever.
So yeah, there's furniture in it, thankfully, which makes life a bit more comfortable. And it's good. And we've got Wi-Fi.
We've just started setting up the gym, and the lads are quite happy with that. We've actually, it's the first time I've ever known lads willingly volunteer to do work. So they've come and they've helped us set up. We've got most of the kit in there now. Just a few more bits to arrive, and then the lads, good for the lads' welfare and that.
The second time, probably willingly, the lads to get to do work was the arrival of one ton of post yesterday. Yeah. Never have I seen people so quickly run to start shifting kit. And we've got another half tonne arriving today.
Food is fantastic. Get three good meals a day. Breakfast is a bit hit and miss because the food comes from the Germans. So sometimes they like a bit of cake and stuff for the breakfast. But obviously I take part in the German cuisine. So yeah, it's been pretty good. Get lots of food, and then his milk and then energy drinks and stuff for the boys as well, which is good in the fridges.
Yeah, so it's set up in like it's like you go in and it's a buffet style, isn't it? So there'll be like salads there at the start, get your water and stuff like that, and then you've got like a main option, and it's a total surprise every day what it's going to be, really, isn't it? But it's, on the whole, it's been quite good, really, the standard.
Yeah, it's definitely good. We had, I think they might be running out of food slightly. It takes 8 weeks to change the menu. So we've sort of, I would say the last couple of days, we've had a couple of runouts of refrigerators, which have been...
What do you mean by that?
Them little chicken.
You know, the chicken refrigerators. No one's stealing from the fridges, I don't think. But the chicken refrigerators, you know, the sort of packet, I don't know how to describe them.
It's chicken in a packet.
It's chicken in a packet, yeah.
Pretty well described.
Fridge raider. I'm sure the audience knows what a fridge raider is, but it is getting better. It's definitely getting better. Certainly better than, first when I went to Poland. You did Poland as well. So all three of us did Poland. And when we first turned up there, I mean, there was sort of fish heads and... I never want to see a fish head or smoked pierogi again, to be honest.
Pork schnitzel,
yeah. But no, food here is good. Food here is good. I mean, we could talk for hours about food, to be honest.
Lovely puddings as well.
Ah, the pork knuckle, yeah. We haven't had any local food, although I've got a few Gurkhas on my team. And they're already gearing up, ready to get some good Gurkha curries going, with the QM promising them a goat. So I'm looking forward to that. But we've had no local meals yet. I don't think we will, to be honest, because it's all contractor chefs. But the guys, when they go out on the ground, I guess maybe we might have a local meal.
The only drama with sort of local food is if you get a dodgy batch of anything, then that could be sort of a lot of soldiers out of action with various different ailments. I won't go into it too much.
Yeah. It can be pretty savage, so definitely we'll spare the viewers or the listeners that graphic detail.
I'm getting eaten alive.
Depends
honestly.
Depends on your blood group. I've not been bitten once since I've been here, so I'm quite lucky. Other people get absolutely mauled by them.
Yeah, I don't usually get bitten, but in an evening after six, isn't it?
After six.
Sleeves down, and then obviously trousers and stuff like that, and then that's meant to mitigate the mozzies, but it's not really been working for myself.
I've got the occasional bite, but I've not been sort of carried off by a mosquito or anything.
No.
We did see a quite exciting first sighting of a camel spider last night. No, 2 nights ago.
Yeah. Big female, wasn't it?
Was it a female?
Yeah, I think so. It's got the pointy things on the front.
Anyway, very aggressive. You don't want to get anywhere near them.
There's some interesting creatures out here. In the
yeah. Some animals and insects as well.
Yeah.
Quite a few lizards knocking about in the desert.
Yeah, there's a bit about, but to be honest, I haven't really eaten that much. That seems to have... Maybe it's got sweet blood.
Maybe.
Or you just give off.
It's definitely nothing to do with the three puddings I have every night.
So, yeah, there's not been too much drama with that as of yet. But it is... It's supposed to be the highest... I think it's the worst malaria place in the world.
It's quite bad out here, yeah.
Yeah. So, the Light Dragoons are a reconnaissance regiment, a long-range reconnaissance regiment, and the UN effectively has been out here since, I think it's 2015. And there's about 13,000 troops across MINUSMA, which is the UN organisation out here. And we effectively have come out here to provide a new capability and as a unit that can drive very long distance over sort of desert terrain. That's why we've been called in. We are there to effectively help the UN bring peace to the country that has been plagued with quite a lot of terrorism and over the last few years, certainly in the north. And so we're here, and the guys, both Thurtz and Husey, will be going out on the ground quite a lot. So I'll let them talk about what they're sort of doing on the ground and how the sort of day-to-day life they should see whilst sort of conducting reconnaissance on the ground.
Yeah, so we'll be working at outreach, away from sort of the main troops, if you like, gathering information. So my troop's the human engagement troop. Basically, we are going to sort of try to gather as much information and build rapport with locals and through engagement with leaders, etc., and then try and pass that information back and then allow our higher command to sort of make decisions and act from there.
We're operating with loads of other nations, with sort of Belgians, Swedish, Germans. We've also got some Egyptian soldiers out here, Chinese, sort of a big presence within the UN. And the French are doing a separate operations within the country, so we're not operating with them, but they're conducting a sort of different mission.
With regards to sort of partnering operations, it's quite hard to know what to expect out here, because obviously we've done sort of partner and stuff on Herrick and things like that and in Cabrit. But this is, for myself, this is sort of the first UN mission I've been on. So to know what to expect is sort of an unknown up to now. So it'll be interesting to see what that turns into.
Same with me. I did Exercise Trident Juncture in Norway, which allowed us to integrate with a host of other nations. Out here, we'll have difficulties. We have obviously the language barriers and stuff, but we have obviously trained with other nations before, so it won't be totally alien to us. We'll just have to play it out on the ground and see how we all get on and interact when the time comes.
Obviously, I don't get any downtime. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, top grafter.
Yeah, it's top grafter.
It's probably a bit of truth in what you say at the moment, though. So at the moment, it's quite frantic. We've all the kits getting here and sort of establishing ourselves. So once that's calmed down, I'm sure there'll be time to have a few bits we can do, sort of downtime.
Yeah. Routine's starting slowly to come in, but like I said, there's a lot of graft coming in, different convoys, ISOs, freight coming in. In the evening, after scoff, we usually have a bit of downtime. We've had the boxing on a few nights, football's been on for the last couple of nights. And then there's some more boxing on at the weekend, which I'm sure everyone will be watching.
Yeah, definitely. I think when we when we get set up and good to go, we've sort of got football matches planned and trying to play some games and some sport events within the task group. And then you've been out gymming quite a lot, haven't you?
So the lads have been doing a lot of sort of body weight stuff at the moment while they're waiting for the gym to be sorted, and there's other stuff in the evenings. The guys will phone their families off the satellite phones, which is something we've had on most operational tours. And then there's the BFPS service for most of the sports and stuff like that that's on the telly. So there's plenty to do.
Basically 24/7 football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is great dream for the football fans amongst us.
Unless you're a Sheffield United fan.
Yeah.
But we'll not talk about that.
Or you're an egg chaser fan like myself. Mm. Not much rugby going on.
So basically, in the UK, we went to Shrivenham first for isolation, and a few of the lads decided it'd be a perfect opportunity to grow a bit of facial furniture. They got out here, and the RSM soon decided that was not a good idea. But he gave us the option of writing a letter to the colonel if we wanted that to go through the correct chain and stuff like that and get it done the right way. So a couple of us, being myself and Uzi, took him up on that.
Yeah, so we wrote him a funny letter, put quite a bit of humour in to convince him to grow our tashes. I've got 6 weeks to look like Tom Selleck, Magnum PI, so I'm hoping I can pull that off in the time I've been given. I'm pretty confident that I can.
So I initially just wanted a moustache, just a nice simple moustache, and kind of shot myself in the foot a little bit, because now I've got to grow a full set of mutton chops and look an absolute tool walking around camp. But you get what you ask for, don't you, I suppose?
Yeah.
Why are you having to grow mutton chops?
I don't know, it's just a joke, I think.
But who are you looking like?
Just the military greats.
They basically didn't want to look like, what's his name?
Bronson.
No. Who's the guy that...
Ross Kemp.
Ross Kemp, yeah. Yeah. He doesn't want to look like Ross Kemp, so his excuse for growing facial hair is to not look like him.
Yeah. Because I'm follically challenged.
Follically challenged?
Well, I suppose it's subjective, really. I definitely think it is.
I definitely think it's not.
Yeah.
But
that's because he can't grow a beard.
Or a
tash. Yeah. Hey, whoa. Yeah, it's actually probably true. There's somewhat of truth there. Mine goes ginger, that's my drama. Nothing wrong with gingers, obviously. Nothing wrong with ginger.
You're isolating some of the audience members.
Yeah, I know. A lot of my cousins are ginger. Should have shout out to them. But no, I can't really grow a good beard. Basically, everyone turned up and all the Swedes had long hair, beards, so that's wanted to copy. Unfortunately, unfortunately, he can't do the long hair bit.
Well, maybe after.
So he's going for the upside down head.
Yep.
Obviously, I've done a lot of punchy stuff as a young officer. Most notably,
Poland that was particularly punchy. For me, no, this is my first with a proper operation, I guess. I just missed the Afghan days, sadly. So for me, this is sort of our first one in a desert with actually conducting operations that have, I guess, some threat to it and a very real threat out there. So it's a good challenge for us, and it's exciting to sort of be in this environment. I guess it's what we joined the army for, partly. And it's key for us to sort of make sure we're busy planning operations that keeps these guys safe on the ground. So it's very different for me. I haven't really done an operation like it, but that's you've done Afghan.
Yeah, so that was counterinsurgency, really. So that's not what this is. This is sort of peacekeeping, which is Kabrit wasn't really that, was it?
No, we were standing on the Russian border, yeah. Basically.
I think it's sort of categorised as that, but it's not really. So the threats out here are very similar to Herrick in Afghanistan, but it's a totally different role that we're doing. So it's less kinetic, and we're sort of here to support the locals, really, as opposed to seek out extremists.
Yeah. I mean, we're here to find out how we can help the local populations as much as possible and help the UN instill peace around here, I guess. So it is a very different operation rather than actively going out to counter terrorism.
Yeah, just to touch on that, the main issue is the distances we're going to be working at. Never before, I don't think the British Army has ever worked at quite the distances that we're planning on pushing out to. So that's the biggest challenge, logistics, med chain, and just how you operate at them sort of distances away from everyone else. So
yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's the long range recce group is sort of, I guess, tipping of the hat back to the long range desert group of World War II. That effectively operated over large distances. And whilst it's a very, very, very different operation, it is the first time, I guess, UK forces are operating in the desert over hundreds of kilometres. So it's a really cool op for us. It's a really good one to be a part of. And
this is what the vehicles and the kit is designed for. So I've got my little tribe at home. And obviously I'm going to be missing them, so I'm missing birthdays, etc., which a lot of the lads are. But
it's funny because... I mean, you just said that they wanted you to stay out here longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of, yeah. They'll probably ask me to extend to 9 months. But yeah.
Cheaper food bill.
Yeah. A lot less food in the house. But yeah, just family and stuff like that, really. And then just the stuff that you sort of take for granted at home. Like being able to go to the fridge, grab what you want or anything like that. Yeah.
A longer shower than 2 minutes. Yeah. I'm looking forward to a long shower. Obviously, being in the desert, there's limited water supply, so a 2 minute shower a day is all you can get, or 2 1-minute showers allows you to do a bit of fitness and not feel completely sandy.
Yeah,
which is quite nice.
The Wi-Fi situation as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got 2 kids as well, so obviously I'll be missing them. The sacrifices, missing Christmas and stuff. I've got my girlfriend back at home as well. Big shout out to Katie. So she's holding the fort back there for me. You'll obviously miss them, but this is what we signed up for. This is what every soldier should aspire to be doing. So you just put them sort of things to the back of your mind and crack on, really.
Yeah, my family are pretty used to it. I'm definitely one of an army family. So I've got 4 brothers, of which 3 are in the army. Dad was in the army. So mum's sort of like, it's going away again. It's pretty standard. So
not seen him for 6 months anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing is, out here you've got lads who have done. They've got a lot of experience. He's been on ops before. They'll perhaps be the guys who deal with it slightly better. But there's guys who's been probably their first time abroad. Some of the lads, and then also definitely the first operation. So you've got to sort of keep an eye on them the most and sort of support them.
Just trying to keep them busy. Yeah. There's lots of sort of things we can do, like lots of welfare stuff we can do to try and keep everyone busy. It's sort of easier for, I guess it's easy for me. I don't have a sort of, anyone waiting back at home other than my parents and family, but...
Aww.
Oh, wait, can we just get rid of that? That sounds really tragic. No. All right, cool, cancel that bit. Cancel that. They're getting out their mini violins now. No, it's easy for me because I'm not married or anything, so it's easy. I've got no children at home, but I guess we're quite lucky that we're a pretty close-knit regiment, so a lot of my mates are out here and we all know each other and we'll get on very well, so it's very easy for us to sort of be away, I guess.
I think on one as well, for that, it's harder for the families because we're out here, we know what we're doing, we're together, whereas them, they're back at home, they're not knowing what we're doing, they don't know what we're doing day to day, whether we're safe or not, but so it's probably a bigger strain for them. I think they miss us a lot more than we miss them.
So I guess from sort of headquarters side of things, we're busy trying to prepare all the, basically trying to plan the operation at the moment for these guys to make sure that all the conditions are met and set and that we've got a good plan in place to keep these guys safe whilst they're doing their patrols. So, and how they communicate and things like that, which I'm rather jealous of these guys going out, to be honest. But I mean, you guys have been busy doing like training and stuff, haven't you?
Since we got here, we've sort of been getting what we can ready kit-wise and equipment. And then any lessons and further training that we feel we needed to sort of brush up on from the MRX, which is our final sort of validation exercise. We've been sort of covering that and then covering the main important areas like med and that sort of thing.
Not too sure what the first impressions will be like for us, to be fair. It's just a bit of excitement, I think, really, to get out there. The terrain is pretty much different to what we've worked in before with the wagons, but they're very more than capable of operating in this sort of environment, so not really sure.
We've had a quick glance over the over the wall, haven't we?
Very flat.
It's pretty flat and obviously sandy with sort of acacia trees dotted around the place, and incredibly hot. It's about 37 degrees here at the moment, but the vehicles are designed to work in the desert with an open top, so these guys will have to be lathering sun cream on, no doubt, and it's cool. It's a good sort of African savannah terrain.
I think the first time out and that, will the lads will be naturally quite cautious, and then the experience will build, and then with that will come a bit more confidence and comfort in your environment, if you like.
So I came out early with Bonnie, who is a very friendly, what looks like an attack dog, but it's not. It's a search dog, and is very friendly and actually quite sort of quite jealous of the dog handler. I mean, he's got quite a cool job, and he's sort of got his pet with him permanently, I guess. So I've managed to spend quite a lot of time with Bonnie, who hasn't managed to rip off my arm, which is good. So pretty chuffed with that.
I've not met the dog because I've been busy grafting. So unfortunately, I've not had a chance to meet the dog.
I've actually seen the dog working. She's pretty switched on, knows her stuff. So very much got a lot of confidence in the dog. So yeah, and it's a good addition to the team because it saves a lot of time when we're out there searching and stuff. The dog just pelts itself up and down and finds stuff very quickly. So big up the dog.
Big up Bonnie.
Thanks for listening to Fancy a Brew. Check out other episodes at bfbs.com/podcasts.